All right, what's going on, beautiful people? It is the North Shore 9 post-game show, powered by Primanti Brothers. I'm Tyler. With me is my man, Douglas Freshwater. Doug, we ruined it, man.
Yeah, we did. We broke the streak.
We broke the streak.
Well, I mean, I never thought it would be you and I. I mean, it seemed like a Rosati Neal kind of show.
But it really did. Unfortunately, it was our turn, and the Pirates are no longer on pace to go 162-0. I have to drop that bit. But hey, if they win 4 out of 5 the rest of the year, or 5 out of 6 the rest of the year, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's still a good start, right? I mean, right. We didn't expect – I mean, reasonably, you couldn't expect to sweep the Marlins. So, you know, that 3-1 would have been the best that you would have hoped for. So, right. We're still in good shape. It seems silly to do a post-game show 6 games in. Everything's an overreaction. Everything's a small sample size. But, hey, we press on, and it's the kind of entertainment we provide. But, you know, everything comes with a grain of salt.
Yeah, so like we mentioned, the Pirates dropped this one to the Nationals 5-3. Just kind of an ugly, kind of sloppy performance at the plate, I think. Kind of sloppy pitching. It happens. Where do you want to start tonight, Doug? I think we almost have to start with the guy that was on the bump for the Pirates, the guy that they extended. And yeah. He, in his second start of the year, Mitch Keller did not look very good today, I don't think. Much they like really didn't look good in his first start.
First start, or mm-hmm. his entire second half of last year, where I think he had 5.95 ERA. Mitch didn't look good. I tell you what, at one point I had written an article to post and called "Are We Sure Mitch Keller Is Good?" And I just knew if I put that out there, there'd just be, you know, too many. I'd get too many lectures about, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And you are our resident pitching expert. But to me, Mitch Keller is, quote old Bill Parcells here, is what his record says he is. He's got a career ERA of 4.75. He had a good stretch. He had a good stretch at the end of 23. He had a good stretch in May of last year. But, you know, he wears the last year's ERA was 4.21. That's about what he is. I'm kind of on him like I was with Brian Hayes for a while. It's like, hey, we keep saying it's coming. We keep saying it. When it happens, I'm on board. I'm on board with Brian Hayes. I'm not convinced that Mitch Keller is going to be any better than he is, and that's fine. He's, his contract, his extension is fine. He's still going to live up to that extension. I think he tries to be too cute. You know, he's going to have 3 or 4 more bad starts, and then he's going to throw a gem, and they're going to say, Mitch, what did you do different? And he's going to say, well, you know, we were aggressive with the fastball. It took you that long to figure it out, right? You've got Oscar Morin. You've got Bradley Haddad. You've got the catcher. You've got on and on and on. And you're, you know, cutters and sweepers. And, man, throw your fastball. And I know his velocity's down a little bit. I think he's too enthralled with his six-pitch mix. And if he would just, you know, watch Jared Jones for crying out loud, you know, watch Martin Perez, you know, attack these guys. He nibbles and then he's all over, you know, right in the middle of the plate. He's a little frustrating. He's been frustrating for me to watch since, you know, June of last year. So hope he gets it together. Hope it's just early season. You know, maybe his dead arm thing is a little earlier than most people, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so I guess where I'd push back a little bit here is just on Keller being who he is, the 4.7, whatever it is, ERA in his career. He's better than that. He's not the guy that he was 3-4 years ago. Is he a number one? He is for the Pirates. Is he a number one in the league? I don't know about that. He's a good major league pitcher. He's going to eat innings for you. He's usually like, he's going to be in that 3.75-4 ERA range, in my opinion. That's where he's probably going to end up. He's not going to be the guy we saw at the beginning of last year. Right. He was lights out. I'd say he's more in that 3 range, which completely fine. You always need those. Yeah. I'll take 5 of those, to be honest with you.
Right, right. We haven't had a lot of those. So, I've got no beef. I don't want to run him out of town. I'm hoping that he becomes our 4th starter. That would be ideal.
Now, I do think what you said was interesting about his pitch mix. Because that is something I was thinking about today watching him. He almost does have a little bit too much going on now. Because when he really came into his own was when he just turned into that two-seamer guy that got the ground balls. He was able to really rely on that off-speed stuff. Then we went to the sweeper, and now we have the sinker, we have a sweeper, we have a regular slider, we got a four-seam. There's a lot going on here.
It's too much.
Really, now it's going to take some time here, and I want to see this progress through the year here. I'm really interested just to see that cutter, because that cutter got banged around a lot last year, and today it got hit a lot again.
It was in the strike
zone. I want to see more out of it. There's use with it, obviously. But as this year goes on, I'm going to be interested to see if that's something he really leans on, because right now he's leaning on it heavily. We're seeing a lot of the four-seam, the cutter, the two-seam, and it's 3 fastballs at 3 different speeds and 3 different directions. But I almost want to at this point, and like I said, I want to see this through. I want to see him maybe lean a little bit more on that two-seam again. More four-seams. And one more thing just to add about the fastball in general today, the velocity was down. The four-seam was down over 1 mph. You can't be 93, 94. Mitch Keller's got to be 95, 96.
Right. Yeah, maybe he needs to go back to tread, hit 100 again. something needs to change. I say watch Jared Jones. He's got 2 pitches,
He only pitched 1 game.
No, I know, but the approach. I wouldn't even expect the same results. But this, it's just too much. He goes 3-2 on so many, but he throws too many pitches. Go back, get those grounders. Not last year before, he got all those double plays. And we knew that wasn't sustainable, but he's sort of gone away from even trying to do that anymore. It's like, you bring that sinker back, throw the fastball, see what happens.
And that's the thing about that sinker there is, it almost feels like sometimes he needs just an out pitch, something that he can get 3 pitches or less, maintain the efficiency, go after that ground ball, get the double play. And he still does throw it a lot. I'm not acting like he just abandoned it after his kind of resurgence, but I almost want to see him lean more towards that. And obviously teams are going to attack him differently. They're going to construct their lineup differently against him after they've seen what he's been able to do the last couple of years. And that's why you're seeing the cutter used so much, I think, is because teams are throwing out lineups that are going to be able to tee off on that two-seamer, and he's got to have something to offset that. But the problem is that cutter's getting hit so hard right now.
Right. It's in the zone. just across
the really, plate. Right. And that's really what it comes down to. He left that cutter belt high way too often, out over the plate. He wasn't able to get in on the hands of the lefties. The cutter and the slider, just way too much up in the zone. He's got to be able to bury some of those pitches, and he just didn't do it today, plain and simple.
Right. He has in the past. That's why he's frustrating. It's like, it's there. We've seen it. Again, I'm not expecting that month of May, that was just lights out dominant. But again, right, I'd be thrilled with a 3.85 ERA type guy as opposed to the 6.55 that he's currently at for this year. It's, again, I said at the beginning, it's early, it's an overreaction, it's a small sample size.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We are absolutely overreacting. He still struck out 5 5 1/3.
Right. And he's still given innings. I mean, he's still giving you, you know, it's right. It's not nine, you know, but right. He is a workhorse. This team needs him this year. They need him to be a little better. And I think he will be, but he's not the guy I'm most interested in watching in the rotation right now. And hopefully he can get some of that back.
Matt in the comments here, no sandwiches tonight. Sorry, we can't give out sandwiches every night. When the Pirates lose, we got
to
wait one more day.
You can still go and buy them. Go to Pimonte's and buy a sandwich. We're going to give you plenty more chances to win. But you know what?
It starts again tomorrow because five out of 6 days or five out of six games, we're getting wins.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're on an 887 pace or something. Right. We're good. We'll be fine.
Yeah. And someone else in the comments here asked if I want efficiency or strikeouts.
Efficiency.
I prefer efficiency. The swings and misses are still going to come with Mitch Keller. His stuff is good enough.
Right, right, yeah.
It seems to me, and early in the year, but it seemed to me at some point last year, Mitch Keller kind of fell more in love with the swings and misses than he did what. He fell more in love with that instead of what got him back to being a capable major league pitcher. And I'm not complaining because it has worked for him as well. He's able to strike out a bunch of guys. There's got to be a mix here though.
That's it. He needs a balance, right? He can't sell out for all strikeouts. He can't sell out for, you know, all grounders, but he's got to pitch, right? He's got to pitch. He's got to pitch to the situation.
And listen, we're still talking about a guy that went 5 1/3 and only gave up 4 runs. He kept the team in the game. This was a very winnable game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, that could lead us to – it's hard to win any game, regardless of what your pitcher does, when your top three hitters go 0-12 with 6 strikeouts. And those guys have been so good, you can't even be mad at them. They were due.
Yeah, let's just get into that. Top of the lineup today, it let the Pirates down. 6 strikeouts, like you just mentioned. Cruz, Reynolds, Hayes. Maybe not what you want to see when you're facing Trevor Williams.
Oh, I know.
that's what hurts, I think, is you shouldn't be striking out as many times as they did to Trevor Williams.
Right. And their bullpen shut us down, too. Their bullpen's been terrible. And that's been their problem in the early season, the bullpen. And they look like the, you know, 1990 Nasty Boys against us. But, Brian Reynolds, 5-game get on base streak ended. So I'm almost glad because I was so tired of hearing it. But I Joe Block's going to be right out there. He had got on base, 32 straight times. And now he's, 33 out of it was just a. Like you said early at the beginning, it was just a sloppy game from the offense. Nobody looked really locked in except maybe Michael A. Taylor. I know you're a big fan.
But you know what? Just go ahead and wax poetically about Michael A. Taylor for me, Doug. Tell the people.
Hey, he looks good. I mean, we didn't expect any kind of offense from him. You know, the occasional home run. He looks like a hitter right now. And again, I'm not buying into that. I think he's going to be what he's always been. And that's fine, right? I mean, at the end of the season, he should probably be our worst hitter, right? But right now, he's been a pleasant surprise. He's helped us win games. And, he started – it's a great way to start out your career with a new team.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Michael A. Taylor's at 429 right now.
Yeah. Knocked in two today, yeah.
I think we've seen some pretty good at-bats from Michael A. Taylor. We've seen good defensive center field play from him. He's swinging the bat well right now. I don't know how sustainable it is. Obviously, I'm not the biggest believer in the world. But at this point, the signing is proving to earn dividends. He's playing pretty well right now. It's moving guys in the outfield to probably a more natural position. At the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to with Michael A. Taylor is that defense. That's really where his value is going to come. And anything else you get beyond that, it's just try to stay close to average at the plate and let your defense speak for itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were really concerned about what right field was going to be. Mm-hmm. And now it's Brian Reynolds. You know, so yeah. Right there, the Michael A. Taylor signing is useful. We now, don't have to worry about right field anymore.
Now, you did talk a little bit about him seeing the bolo. He did strike out 3 times today. Yeah. Strikeouts for everyone. The other guy, just what I want to talk about is Jack Suwinski.
Yeah.
We saw a Suwinski bomb today off of a lefty, Doug.
Lefty.
Are you starting to buy the hype with Jack Suwinski?
But again, it's early, and it's so hard because his slumps are so extreme. But I'd give him a little more run. I would not put him in a straight platoon at this point. I would definitely rest him against some tough lefties, but I'd want to make sure he sees some to see what he can be. I think they said, since September 20th or something, you know, again, one of those ridiculous random things, but you know, he's hitting 390 or something against lefties. So maybe, you know, and he did hit lefties a lot better last year in September. Maybe he started to figure something out. We know he's a hard worker, you know, we know he's really committed to improving. Having the pressure of not being in center field, I think might help, but yeah, have I bought the hype? No. But do I believe he'll be at least what he was last year? Yes. And that's not too shabby. So,
yeah. And just to bring it back to the day, I think first off, he homered off of a lefty. Yeah, it's a meatball of a slider, but it's still left on left. That's tough to do in general. I think just in general, even today, we saw some pretty good at-bats, I think, from Jack Suwinski. And what I'm seeing from him, I think, is what the eye test is telling me at this point. I haven't dug really deep into the numbers. And I'm sure someone will in the comment section, either during the show or after, will correct me if I'm wrong.
Has he had 10 at-bats? There's no numbers yet.
That's true. But what it seems like I'm seeing right now is a different type of approach with 2 strikes from Jack Suwinski. Saw it a little bit today, obviously, only a few at-bats. But with 2 strikes, he seems like he's still hunting up there. He doesn't look like there were times last year where it looked like when we're deep in the counts with Jack Suwinski that he was trying to draw a walk, especially against the lefty. He's laying off those closer pitches that we've seen umpires be pretty bad. So you get rung up pretty often, more often than you should. But at this point, I feel like we're seeing him get just a touch more aggressive in 2-strike counts, which really is where I think it's going to end up paying dividends with runners in scoring position when you can just put a ball in play and get some runs here. That's where I think the difference with Jack Suwinski is this year.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Especially against lefties, he looked like that scared kid, literally just, please walk me, please. You know, you thought he was going to lean in one. Excuse me. But yeah, if him and there's a few others that just need to be a little more aggressive. I know maybe the Andy Haynes approach is counterintuitive to that, but right. The best point you probably made about that is umpiring is awful. Borderline stuff. There's a good chance it's going to go against you. The Pirates are not going to get the benefit of any umpiring. I think it's terrible across the board. I don't think they're any worse for us than anybody else, but we're sure not going to get any. Well, you know, this is our big national team. We need to focus. We need to make sure they're looking good. We're not getting that. I think if he and Brian Reynolds too, I'd like to see kind of not be so patient. And often they're right. Brian Reynolds is frequently right. It was a ball, but it doesn't matter if the. You know, when a guy standing behind you calls it a strike. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to June and July to see where some of these guys stand. And Suwinski is one of our most interesting, curious, intriguing guys because, again, that power potential is real. He puts in the work. And let's see if it pays off.
Yeah, I'm with you. And just to kind of wrap this up in more of a fun way, I think, Derek Shelton gets tossed. Yeah. We've heard a lot. There's a lot of Twitter scuttlebutt about Derek Shelton not getting tossed often enough. He actually does get thrown out of games pretty often. Yeah. Today, just rightfully so. That is, in case you were not watching the game, Brian Reynolds had two strikes on him. Check swing, the umpire behind home plate rung him up. Brian Reynolds was not happy. Derek Shelton was even more unhappy. Umpire tosses Shelton. That's just,
I don't understand the umpire's
conviction.
Right. Why don't you ask the third? I mean, again, he had such conviction that just refusal to, I've not seen it like that. I mean, I've seen guys make bad calls, missed calls, but point down to the third base umpire and ask him what he saw. Right. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It was really something how he just absolutely refused to, the home plate umpire usually doesn't make that call.
Plain and simple, he can't make that call. That's not his call there. I think he might have swung there. It was hard to tell from the camera angles they were giving us.
Yeah, it was.
Not your call, though. Plain and simple, not your call.
It doesn't matter. Right. Let the other guy blow the call, right? It's not your call to make.
No, he has a much better view. That is way too tight for him to make that call in that situation behind home plate. That's maybe my biggest umpire pet peeve, is when the home plate umpire calls, brings someone up on a check swing. Plain and simple, not your call. That gets appealed for a reason. It better be blatantly obvious when you ring someone up.
Right. Yeah, that bat should be back. Excuse me. Back behind your head by the time, right? It shouldn't be any kind of borderline. Right?
No, and just love to see Derek Shelton get tossed there, to be honest with you. Are you with me here? I just love
I always enjoy that. And it's nice. He set the tone early in the year, right? I think the Pirates as a whole are approaching things differently this year. Mm-hmm. For the first time, they're playing good defensive players, choosing like sort of good defensive players, something that never seemed to matter to him before. You got him arguing with, getting thrown out, which a lot of people will say that, he doesn't get thrown out enough. You're right. He gets thrown out enough. And, is it a big deal when in 102 loss season that, you want to really go out and argue that much? Who cares? Let's just go home. But yeah, now I think they're serious about this season, and he's going to go out after the umpires and protect his players.
Yeah, that's just a big thing there. And also, the other part that's good to see about Shelton there, and just smart by him, all the managers are going to do it there, but you can't have Brian Reynolds get tossed there. Reynolds was rightfully so getting mouthy with the umpire. Shelton, good on him. You got to get out there and protect your player. You got to be the one to get tossed. You can't let your guy get tossed, especially Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, right. He's, I would still say he's our best hitter. And, maybe Brian is. But yeah, I mean, he's our guy. And you've got to protect him. You got to go out and show him that you got his back. And, right, I mean, and they were right to. It was a terrible call. I mean, not that it was a strike or not. I don't know. He had no business making that call. And so, you just have – it's just the perfect argument. I mean, let the third base ump make that call.
Yep. Well, aside from that, anything else you want to touch on tonight here, Doug?
No. It's – I mean, they're not going to score 8 runs every game. The bullpen was fine again, not fine, very good. And that is clearly going to be the strength of this team. And if we can get a lead at just about any point in the game, we have an outstanding chance of winning. We play tomorrow. We'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah. I like the compete level. I like the fire. We haven't seen a quit in this team yet. They haven't laid down. 13 strikeouts is plain and simple, is just too many, especially when you have Trevor Williams on the mound against you.
That
you
pitch to contact guys, right?
Yeah, too many strikeouts today. Really, that to me, that's what it comes down to. the team has succeeded based on their discipline at this point, really, at the plate. Today, it didn't come through. Too many strikeouts. Try to go back to the drawing board tomorrow.
Yeah, they probably didn't want to play today. That's crappy weather, right? They're probably like, hey, oh, man. You know, this is
161-1. We'll do, I guess. We'll live with it.
Right.
All right. All right. Well, we will be back with you guys tomorrow. I think it is Jim and DiNardo tomorrow. Hopefully covering a Pirates win and giving out some sandwiches to you folks.
Exactly.
That is all for Tyler and Doug here. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.